Welcome to the Kid Craddock Podcast. It's a condensed version of the show.
We painstakingly smushed it together for your listening pleasure.
Enjoy! Kid Craddock in the morning.
Well, yesterday on Wendy Williams, you know, she does the thing where she runs down, you know, gossip just like we do, celebrity entertainment stories.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She brought up the whole Madonna Instagram uproar when she, you know, posted a picture of her son Rocco, 13-year-old son Rocco, and he's boxing, and she's so proud of him. She's like, you know, don't mess with dirty soap. Mama said knock you out.
Hashtag.
And you think because she hashtagged it this N-word, in Wendy fashion, she was going to go off a little bit on that. But actually, it took a very surprising turn.
Madonna posted a picture of her son Rocco boxing, and the caption was, Mama said knocked you out. Hashtag this N-word. In other words, this N-word. Now, first of all, I want you to know that Rocco and his mother, Rocco's 13 years old, and Rocco is a real fan of his mother. And what I discovered this weekend is my son doesn't like me anymore.
Oh, Wendy.
You know how it is. I know what it is. I don't have my period. Kevin, I discovered this a while ago, but the ball just got smacked home this weekend. You know, he's all into his father. You know how 13-year-olds are. I was the same way when I was 13, but it is breaking my heart. He says things to me like, why are you so pissed? And but he'll say, why are you so pissed? Like, I'm pissed all the time. Like, I'm the one with the problem. He's the one who's 13, and I get it. And I know that this phase only lasts for 4 years or something like that. But it is breaking my heart. And he doesn't care about Wendy on TV. He doesn't care about any of that. It just... Anyway, she's lucky that he likes her.
Like, and she just starts bawling and she can't help herself. Now, I don't know if this did much to help when she got home. Kevin's like, Mom,
you embarrassed me
like that.
Yeah.
But her heartbreak was very real. And I just know in my own life, I've got friends with teenagers who are going through some serious struggles right now. I'm dreading it. And it's not that far off for me. And I just thought maybe some parents want to share maybe what worked for them, how they got through it. Or maybe nothing will work. You just have to wait for it to pass.
Maybe time.
I don't know.
Well, according to Ashley, this passes. Right, Ashley?
Yes, it does. This is actually coming from the child's point of view. My dad came into my 3 older brother's lives when we were young. He was 25 and got with my mom. She couldn't have more kids, you know, so we are his kids. And we went through that stage, all 4 of us did, with him and my mom alike. And we've said some horrible things. And now there's no one that we love and respect more than our dad. It is what it is. You know, we did what we had to do. And it was difficult at the time, but like I said, now there's no one that we love and respect more, and there's no one that we would ever think about calling or just praising more than my dad and what he's done for us. And, you know, we've grown and learned as a family, and we're better for it. It kind of gives me hope for the future with my toddler now, and those, hopefully it's a long way off, but
Ashley, when you say you did what you had to do, are you saying you did what you had to do to try and make the relationship work, or I'm not understanding what you did?
Well, what we went through, you know, when you've got three teenage boys and I was the youngest as a girl, we went through a lot of rough patches of just him not being our biological father. And
so you were angry and resentful, I guess, and resisted.
Yes.
And what did
very much so.
What did he do right to make this pass as fast as possible in your eyes?
He loved us. He loved us no matter what. And he didn't leave.
He didn't leave. And I think that's maybe what you guys were trying to do. Trying to get maybe subconsciously
because he wasn't your biological
testing him
dad.
To see if you could get him to leave, and when he didn't leave, then you gained his trust, maybe.
Yeah, he gained our trust.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have good experiences up until that point, you know, and he did. He loved us, you know, beyond a shadow of a doubt. There was nothing that we could do that wouldn't would take that love away. And it brings tears to my eyes just thinking about it. But the things that, you know, we said to him and even did to hurt that relationship, and yet, you know, we are his kids. He doesn't introduce us as his stepkids. We are his kids. You know, cool. Like I said, he was 25
when he came in your life.
Cool.
And took on four of us, and like, it does pass, and now, you know, we are
happy.
One big happy family.
Well, I'm glad it worked out.
Thanks for calling, Ashley.
Thanks for calling.
Kelly, the scary thing is, at least for me, it's like, you know, it's kind of a losing battle when you raise a kid like that does good in school and gets good grades and is smart, because when they get to a certain age, you start going, I'm 17 and I'm smart, and why can't I choose where I want to go to school and what I want to wear and what I want to do? You start getting really rebellious almost, because it's like, well, I'm smart enough. I can make my own decisions. Mm-hmm. How do you know better than me? And sometimes it's almost just like letting them learn for them. If you've raised them correctly, letting them learn for themselves.
And they will eventually.
Yeah.
You hope.
Stacey, how'd it go with your 16-year-old son?
Oh, my gosh. He is... Oh, he's something else. He, you know, it's like he doesn't care about me, who I am. Whatever, he won't call me anything. Like right now he's living with his aunt, which I made that mistake of saying okay.
Yeah.
He's been there about a year. The only time that he'll talk to me is if he knows I have something for him, like money or presents or what have you. And then still at that, he's like ungrateful, like, oh, you gave it to me, so what? And it's very heartbreaking because I really want him back home, and he could just care less.
Why do you think he's so angry?
Well, we've had a, you know, pretty rough life.
It's okay, Stacey.
You know, I'm a single mom with four kids. I no help. I do what I can do. And sometimes, you know, we have very stressful situations. I know I say stuff to my kids that nobody would ever want to say.
Yeah.
You know, same with them. You know, they say things to me that really hurt, and we try so hard to get along and do things that are fun, just to, I guess, forget about all the hurt.
I think what may happen, yeah, I think in my case what happened, because I came into my youngest son Peyton's life late in his life. When I say late, he was 14, I think it was.
That's late.
And he was mad at me
for not being there,
and he was actually taking that out on his mother.
Right, because I
you know,
think
because
express,
she's there.
They express their anger for the one who they think won't leave.
Right.
So they can give all, because other people, if they express their anger, might leave them, but they know the parent's not going to leave, so I can say anything, do anything, because there's still that security that my parent's going to be there at the end.
And then when he did come down here, I know we're taking calls, but when he did come down here, he wanted to try the relationship, and I wanted to, him to, but he was still mad, and he stayed mad and stayed mad and stayed mad. And I couldn't not, I understood why he was mad. I deserved him to be mad at me, but I still wanted to get past that. And it has taken, he came down here, he moved back home. He came down here, moved back home. So I think he's coming back.
Maybe you start by getting him to move back home with you and away from the aunt. Maybe. I mean, it might cause more stress at first, but at least you're all back under the same roof and you're a family again.
And with time, you know, I was 16 and 15, 16 when I had my tough times with my mom. And by the time I was 19 and 20 is when you start realizing how much you as a mother do for the kid. That's when we start realizing, oh my goodness, you paid for my food and you made sure I had clothes and you made sure I had shoes. By that time, they'll finally realize and your relationship will hopefully get stronger, okay?
I hope so.
I know. You're not alone.
Just keep loving it. Yeah,
you are not alone.
Just remember that you are not alone. A lot of people are going through this.
Okay, thank you.
God bless you,
girl. All right, Stacey, you keep that head up.
That's tough.
Mm-hmm. Four kids.
And how do you get the kid back home after you've given them permission to move out for a year? Yeah. But you know what? I can imagine being a parent of a child that's that frustrating. You're just finally like, just get out. Yeah. I need some peace in my life, you know?
Yeah.
Erica, you have a 13-year-old daughter?
I have a 13-year-old daughter. We have had a time with the mouth and everything going on. And
oh, Lord.
We sat her down and told her, said, look, we give you anything in the world as long as you have respect, you do what you're supposed to do. And we've really opened up the relationship with her so she knows, don't get frustrated with us and mad, talk to us. and she's come to us. I mean, and we open out our house to her friends, and we've got them over all the time, and she does. I mean, she knows that we'll do anything in the world for her as long as she always respects and knows that, you know, what we're doing is always in her best interest.
So when she crosses the line and slips up, what do you do?
We take away, you know, what is important to her, the iPhone, yeah, the, you know, spending time with her friends. I mean, and it worked.
So you're basically saying,
honor student, you know,
constant communication will help and just making them realize that they're screwing up, right?
Exactly. I take her to school every morning, and on that, you know, way we talk. I'm like, you know, is there anything going on you want to talk about? You know, we just try to keep it open so she knows she can always come to us. But I always make it clear, I am your mother. I'm not your best friend.
Mm-hmm. Smart.
You know, but I want her to know that, you know, we're there for her as long as, you know, she has the respect and manners that she's always supposed to have, and we're not going to tolerate, you know.
Well said, Erica. Thank you. That's exactly what you have to do with these kids. You have to sit them down.
Sometimes it's just so hard. I feel the pain in some of these ladies. I mean, it's just hard. When they're not cooperating and you're sitting here trying to drill something into their head, like, look, just respect me. This is for your own good.
And you know other moms are not telling them, hey, I'm going through the same thing. So they probably feel alone, and they're not alone. Lisa, this started when your son was 14 and he's 18 now?
Well, he's fixing to be 18 in March. Yes, he has told me he hates me, that he cannot stand to be around me. I told him, I understand he's going through the hormonal change.
Yeah.
You know, that change that the boys go through. No, I don't understand it. I'm a female, of course. But I try to, you know, cooperate with him and talk to him. He refuses. He isolates himself in his bedroom from the time he gets home he'll even take his food to his bedroom.
Yeah.
That's basically how much he hates to be around me.
You know.
It breaks my heart.
Lisa, you know he doesn't. He does not. He might say he does, but he doesn't.
You were a teenage boy. You were the most recent teenage boy in the room. So what should she do?
Just basically, you gotta keep trying. You don't turn your back on him ever.
Do you let him go in his room? Do you let him eat in his room?
No, do not let him go in his room. You're the parent. This is your house. And sometimes you're going to have to put your foot down and make him realize, hey, this is my parents' realm. I can't push them around. So it's up to you to not let him push you around.
Go, take your plate and go in his room with him.
Yeah, go up there.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, take your plate and talk. Just talk to
him.
Take your plate, go in the room. Take the doorknob off so he cannot lock the door. And go in the room with him. Take some salt and pepper, you know, some Kool-Aid. Go in there and watch TV, play video games with him. Just be in the same room with him.
And
you know?
You know what my mom would do, and I thought this was one of the best things she did when I would go on these little rants as a idiot kid, and I would say, I hate you, even though you don't mean it as a kid. Yeah. You don't hate your parents. She would return with, well, I love you, every single time I said something negative. Exactly.
I know what you're going through. I don't really know what you're going through, but I'm trying to understand it. But, you know, I really love you regardless, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me last week crying, telling me that he was sorry that he couldn't stand to be around me. You know, it hurts. It really hurts. And I do love him. And he tells me when he turns 18, he's moving in with his sister. And there's nothing about that age. He's an adult. You know, and it's out of my hands. And I'm thinking, what can I do between now and March so that he can, you know, see that I do love him? And he has everything that he asked for. You know, when I'm not mean to him.
Yeah.
I had a stroke in 2010, because me and him had gotten into a big, gigantic argument, and I was just so stressed over all the arguing, and I had a stroke. And he tells his stepdad that he doesn't want me to have another stroke, and the constant arguing, he sees that it's put me under more stress, and he said that he wants to move out so that I won't be under so much stress.
But he's not ready, I can tell you that. He might be 18 on paper, but he's not ready.
Well, he's moving in with his sister.
He needs
He'll become her problem.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And then he wants to go to the Marines, and I'm like, are you serious?
You know what?
It might be the best thing.
You know what?
Lisa, maybe he needs that in
his life. That would be the best thing for him, honestly.
They'll snap him in shape there.
Gosh, honey, I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry.
It'll get better, Lisa.
He's half Hispanic, so he's got that fire blood running through him.
Shout out.
And he's hot.
Lisa, you just keep smiling, Lisa, and just pull through this, okay?
Hey, JC, I'm waiting on making you the dirt soup.
You make me that dirt suit.
Yeah, there you go.
If you're sitting in the car right now, and you're a teenager, and you're sitting with your parents, and you're going through this right now, this is what I want you to realize. Number one, your parents love you unconditionally. Number two, if everything is taken away from you, everything, the one constant that will remain in your life is that person in the car with you right now, your mom and your dad, because they love you no matter what. As a parent now, as having two kids and seeing them being born, I can tell you I will love these kids unconditionally, even if they're 13 and 14 and 15 and tell me they hate me with their guts.
You might not like them.
I might not like them.
But you're going to love them.
But I love the hell out of them.
Right.
And that's how your parents feel about you.
The Kid Nation app. Hear the show and watch it 24/7 on your iPhone or Android. Get it in the App Store right now. Kid Craddock in the morning.
Bachelor last night.
Oh, Juan Pablo, Juan Pablo.
It's still Juanuary, right?
Yeah, a couple more weeks left of that.
Good for him.
Is this show on 2 hours every week?
Yep.
Yeah.
Every week?
And this Sunday night, it's the live wedding. Sean Lowe and Catherine Giudice, I guess is how, or Giudice. I don't know how. I'm so confused by that Real Housewives of New Jersey. She's ruined it for me.
Well, you might as well She'll call be low Catherine soon. Lowe. Yeah.
It's basically 2 hours of foreplay because these two are so horny. That's all they can talk about.
2 hours.
Because they both, it's true, they
Who
decided
does
to
that?
Wait. It's crazy, Al. The whole commercials last night with them shopping for lingerie and him like drool coming out of his mouth and her like, we really have waited. I really can't wait. Oh my God, I can't wait.
She looks almost angry that this happened.
I'm like going to be, if I watch this, I have still haven't decided because I'm going to be so uncomfortable knowing that when this 2 hours live telecast is up, that they're doing.
Oh, I'm not uncomfortable.
It's just 2 hours of foreplay nonsense. No, I don't want to see that mess.
This is awesome. Sean.
Awkward.
Get after it, buddy.
But we don't need to know about it. We're all grown adults.
Oh, it's fine.
We don't need to hear about you acting like 13-year-olds.
I don't need to know about
that. But we do need to
know. Shouldn't be doing it either.
All right.
Anyway, Juan Pablo.
Juan Pablo.
Back to Juan Pablo. Juan Pablo's our bachelor this year.
He kicked off the show last night with a nice little one-on-one date with Cassandra, who's the dancer.
She's the NBA...
An NBA baby mama.
She's an NBA baby mama.
21 years old.
Yeah.
Former dancer.
So
former dancer.
He wanted to have a one-on-one date with her just to see if he likes her or not, because if he doesn't like her, she could get back to her son.
Today, I'm going to have a date with Cassandra, and definitely it's very important for me because she's a mother, she misses her son, and I really want to get to know her.
El carro está allá. Dale. Chao, mi vida.
I understand her very well because it's hard, you know, when you're in that situation and you have a person who depends on you. And I'm not going to waste the time of Cassandra away from her son if I know that it's not going to work out.
I respect that.
That's nice of him. I mean, if that's coming from the heart, which I have no reason to think it's not.
He's very sincere if he's nothing else.
His eye contact is on point, by the way.
His eyes are crossed, I've found out.
No, Kelly's
got lazy. His eyes are uncomfortably set close together.
If you're making
and
eye
last
contact.
Night, it absolutely drove me insane.
Well, he took this single NBA dancing mom on this Jeep thing and then drove it into the water, and then it turned into a boat, and then they jumped in the water, and then they made out.
Yeah, it's just like a Jeep, and they hop in it like they're going to drive to a boat, but they drive into the water.
It is the boat.
It is the boat, and then they get on another boat.
Right, and then Cassandra is talking about how this is her first date in 3 years, you know?
No, I think she said first date.
First date in 3 years.
Yeah.
And she's only 21, and she had her kid at 18. So her last first date
was with her baby daddy.
Yeah.
So her last first date, she got pregnant.
Exactly.
How did this one go?
So far, no pregnancy. But there's still a couple episodes left.
This show, picture this just for a moment. So last night I'm at my girlfriend's house, and we're watching this. She taped it.
Yeah.
And she's got a test this Saturday. So she's reading medical books.
I love that she always has schoolwork to do when this is on.
She's reading
Smart
medical
girl.
I pull the same card. She hates this
so
show.
So she's reading these big, fat medical books.
Dr. Girlfriend.
And then I turn on my work for the night, watching The Bachelor.
It's your job. It is your job.
And she looks at me like, really? Like, not just that I'm watching it. She hears one line that some stupid girl says. She goes, really?
Really.
This line from Elise who said her mother who passed away, the last letter she wrote went to the Bachelor producers.
Me and my mom were like this, like so close. Then my mom got sick and it was very unexpected. It was melanoma, cancer. And she wrote this letter for me to be on The Bachelor. And she never actually got to submit the letter because she ended up getting sicker and sicker. And
is she okay now?
No, she passed away, babe.
She did?
Yeah.
Oh, honey.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. She's my angel. She's the reason I'm here. When she passed, you know, just picking up the pieces, I found her original letter, and it was just, like, incredible feeling.
Oh, yeah. My gosh, that was like a sign.
Oh,
like,
yeah. If it wasn't the biggest sign, it was incredible.
Oh,
yeah. That's why I'm here. It's just so incredible.
Meant to be.
Yeah. See, here's the thing.
Yeah. Tell me the thing, Kelly.
This is the girl that was with the situation.
Yeah.
So she is a reality star chaser. Mm-hmm. And I hate to be cynical, but I'm like,
show me the letter.
I want to say, show me
where
the
letter. Where is the letter?
Where
is this letter? Right?
she probably wrote it herself. She probably wrote it herself.
But you realize when you're looking around at all these other people who have stories, who have backgrounds, who have connections with Juan Pablo, mm-hmm. and you're not getting one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You don't have a father who videotaped a DVD that's going to give to the daughter's future mm-hmm. groom. That's mm-hmm. another one. You don't have a kid.
Nope. No kid.
You're not scoring points here, so what are you going to do?
Come up with a story that your dead mother wrote a letter for you to be on The Bachelor.
And this girl
killed her.
This girl spent the entire show bashing Chelsea, the blonde girl.
Who got the one-on-one
date. The second one-on-one date, bashing her and going, she's just a baby. She's not ready for this commitment. I'm a woman. I'm a first-grade teacher. I got this handled. The other girl is also a teacher.
But she teaches science.
And so she's having a conversation with one of the girls on the couch, and she goes, well, if she's such a baby, how old are you? And she goes, I'm 27. Well, how old is Chelsea anyways? And the girl goes, she's like 24. 3 years younger than you are, and you're calling her a baby? The entire show, I think there were about 25 mentions of how this girl is a baby, by the least.
All right. So.
Whooping.
Yeah, this show.
This show.
So she didn't win points with
Beats
you at that
down.
My mom wrote a letter
no.
story?
No. Okay. I believe that one
I just wanted to be
bit.
Clear on
I'm
that.
I'm just thinking about all of the people on all of the reality shows that have to come up with some type of backstory.
You got to have a selling point.
If it's The Bachelor, whatever it is, you got to have something. If you don't have something, you got to make it up.
Charlene's got this weird personality thing going.
She's
the opera singer.
Opera singer, right.
She is weird.
Which one's she?
She's the one that said, thank you, sir, when she got the first impression rose. Thank you, sir.
She's got moonball.
I appreciate it, sir.
She reminds me of that girl that was on Seinfeld years ago when Jerry was looking at her, and sometimes she would be hot, and sometimes she...
Yeah.
Well, she went from very, very classy, and she's trying to be sexy now. So she's wearing her hair down. She's wearing backless things. She can't stop licking Juan Pablo. It's really weird.
The kiss was the worst kiss I've ever seen.
Most awkward kiss ever?
It was awkward first kiss,
gosh.
I would say.
It was that open mouth kiss, Jenna.
Where you kind of linger?
You open your mouth and you just kind of stick your tongue out like, eh.
And she didn't move. She just over her mouth.
I feel like you kind of need to stay on your own half of the field in that situation.
Yeah, it was like a corpse tongue. Just
it was
like,
weird. It was awkward.
Just kind of chilling in there.
But then the funniest thing was right after that tongue kiss, he gave the rose to somebody else.
To Nikki.
So, I mean, like, the minute after he finishes kissing you, he gave somebody else the rose. And that was like, I think he was getting even with her for that. Thank you, sir, on the first impression rose. I think he was getting even with her on that.
Or she doesn't kiss very well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he wasn't feeling the kiss because they went out there and played soccer. She got hit in the face with balls a couple times.
Yeah.
Yeah, because then the second time when she tried to kiss him at the pool,
he
pulled away and she said, you're such a tease. I'm thinking, you're the tease, honey, but he wouldn't kiss her. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I noticed that.
There's not that chemistry thing he's looking for.
Now, back to the soccer. Who was the girl that got hit? Not Charlene. The girl that got hit a couple of times. She fell down a couple of times.
It was Charlene.
Yeah, Charlene,
the
opera singer.
Yeah.
I liked her on the soccer field. I didn't like her trying to kiss.
Yeah, she looked good on the soccer field.
On soccer field? Okay, she looked good.
I take issue with him being a soccer player. Was he a professional soccer player?
They have video of it proving it.
Video of him scoring a goal with his head and everything.
Yeah, I don't remember.
But like,
You're asking the wrong people.
Did he play like co-ed intramural?
No, I think it was real. Was it here? I don't know. It was somewhere. But he was a professional soccer player.
No, he was playing with the LA Galaxy for fun.
I know, but.
Like they let him down on the field to
play.
I think he might have played MLS. He played professionally somewhere.
He did.
Then he went on a date with Chelsea one-on-one. And she said the corniest thing ever because they jumped off a bridge and it took about 3 breaks to do it.
I'm sorry. You know what? My roommate and I were sitting there watching that scene, and I was like, I don't want to bungee jump. I have no desire in my life to bungee jump. But if you're on a TV show, You just got to do it.
If you don't bungee jump, you're not getting a rose.
You got
it. But here's the thing. They load her up with food first to make it even worse.
Yeah.
So she's absolutely stuffed. She's like, yeah. I trust you. I'll keep eating because I trust you, Juan Pablo. And then he takes her to a bridge.
To jump.
To
and
jump.
I'm like, I'm going to throw up as it is.
And then we got the corniest thing said on The Bachelor this season.
If you don't trust someone, you can't do all these things in life together, like have kids and be each other's best friends. So
I think if we can jump off a bridge together, we could pretty much get through anything.
Yeah. That's the barometer right there.
Life is like jumping off a bridge.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that pretty much seals the deal right there.
We'll get through anything. Juan Pablo cheating on me. Juan Pablo leaving me for a younger girl. We'll get through it.
Let's just go bungee again. It'll make it all better.
She got a rose. She's staying.
Of course she did. There is zero. She's got friend written all over her.
Yeah. Boring.
Lucy's going home. Lucy, the free spirit. And Christy, one of the hot blondes that you never saw.
I was like, who is that girl getting kicked off with Lucy? I swear to
never
you, I've
her.
Never seen that girl.
Never heard of her. Probably never see her again.
It's Kid Craddock in the morning.
It's about that time. It's time to go bowling for the big game.
Yeah.
Each day this week, we're going to get two callers on the line. They're going to select the cast member who they think is super at bowling. They'll compete head-to-head. One roll of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Then four winners will move to the super final on Friday. Those four will compete again with the winner getting a pair of tickets to the big game in New York between the Denver Horses, who are very big and run fast, and the Seattle Birds that swim and float on the waters.
I think we can say Seahawks. And
no,
Broncos.
You cannot, Al.
You just can't.
You
say.
Can
no,
say
you
the team names.
No.
I don't think there's any danger of lawsuits
cannot.
There.
Never mind.
I was told yesterday by the bosses.
Wait, can
we
say
have
the team name?
Nope.
Them. I'm sorry. So what is it? The Denver Horses?
The Denver
the
Horses
Seattle?
Who run fast.
He's lying.
The Seattle.
He's joking, right?
No, I'm serious. You can't
no,
say the team name.
That's
just
what he said.
I'm
wow, you
can't
even say that?
So
if
you got a pair of tickets?
Confused, that is a trademark event, so when people give prizes away.
Everybody knows what we're talking about. You also
can say the teams. Now, come
no,
on.
No, you can't. You can say the cities.
You don't can't get say the teams?
Don't get mad at me. Get
this
mad at
is
the,
ridiculous get, now.
Get mad at the Football League of the
I'm
National
I'm going to call.
League.
Who's the head of the Football
you
League?
You're not going to get him to let us say it.
You can say the name of the city. You just can't say
is
the
it, mascot. Who's Roger Goodell? Is he the NFL?
Yes.
How do I know that? There you go.
Jenna, you're
so
not going to get a date.
Silly
yes.
Now.
Look him
I'm
up on Facebook.
What?
You're not gonna, don't act like you're
Roger Goodell.
You
can't say Roger Goodell.
It's
trademarked.
Oh, that's too much?
That's trademarked.
I should know that?
You'll also get two tickets on Southwest Airlines, $400 towards a hotel and a $100 Party City gift card. The runner-ups will get a $100 gift card to Party City as well.
You know what I like about Party City?
What?
You can say their name without fear of being sued.
Let's meet our contestants. On the line, we have Dave Murphy. Say hello, Dave.
Hey, how's it going?
What up, Big Dave?
So are you winning these tickets for your girlfriend or what?
I'm actually married. I would be taking my brother.
There you go.
There you go.
Good man.
He's a
good man.
Fan and hasn't been able to go to a pro game ever. So
good man,
cool.
Dave.
What better pro game than the Super Bowl?
Lead a wife at home. Lead a wife at home.
Well, we wish you well.
We wish you well, Dave. And I'm sorry. You're going to need to call it the big game.
Yeah, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. The big game.
Yeah.
That's right.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah, yeah.
Meet your competitor, Linda Gimble.
Hi.
Hey, Linda.
Who are you winning
How's
these?
How's it going, guys?
Who are you winning these tickets for, Linda?
Myself and my husband.
You're taking the husband.
Good woman. Take your husband to the game. Good woman.
You're not going to let.
Yes,
you
can tag along this one time.
Are you really a big football fan, or are you just like I want to go to New York?
No, I'm actually a huge Denver quarterback fan. So
yay!
You like the Peyton guy? I don't know if I can say his.
Can't say Manning. Sorry, can't say Manning.
All right. Dave, you won the toss backstage, so you get to pick the cast member who you think is going to do well at bowling today.
I'm going to go with JC.
Okay. JC.
Interesting.
JC had the high score yesterday.
Everybody just assumes. No, you didn't have the high score yesterday.
No.
Well, out of the
out of the two, the one, Big Al actually had a strike.
No, Big Al had a gutter ball.
Oh, you had a strike. Jenna had the gutter ball.
Yeah.
Yep. I think JC's the safer. Consistent bet, though.
Maybe.
I get that.
Linda, who would you like to choose? I'm off the table.
I would actually like to go Big Al, please.
Thank you, Linda.
Good.
You're
Thank
thinking
you.
that gutter ball on the first bowl.
Got that out of the way.
Got it out of the way.
Okay. Do you want to switch, Linda?
No, okay.
We're good. We're good.
I think this is good.
Now, guys, before we do this, we're going to see what the other cast members that you didn't select.
The girls did.
Yeah, let's see how Jenna did.
Mm. Jenna got a strike yesterday. Let's see if she can do the same today. She hurls the ball down the lane, and it's leaning left. And she knocks down 5 pins. Jenna with a score of five.
Not bad, Jenna. Not bad.
Okay. That's half.
That was no strike.
You got half of 10.
Let's see how Kelly Raspberry did, the only person in the studio who's very afraid of balls.
Kelly Raspberry hurls the orange ball down the center of the lane, and she gets 6 pins. No, wait, another one fell, and another one fell. Whoa. Kelly with a score of 8.
Wow, Raspberry.
Yay. Not bad. Not
how
bad.
About that? I got better. I think yesterday I bowled 7. Today I bowled 8.
You're consistent.
All right.
Now to the main event.
All right. Here we go. Let's get ready for bowling.
Al will bowl first. Linda, are you nervous?
Oh, my goodness. Come on, Al. I love you. Come on. Let's go.
I love you, too.
Here we go.
Love you, too. Let's go.
Big Al, hoping to improve on his score of 0 from yesterday, throws the ball down the lane, and he knocks down 7 pins.
Ooh,
Big Al
with
a score of 7.
Very respectable.
Not bad.
Very respectable.
Dave, 7 is a lot of pins to knock down.
I have faith in you, JC.
Thanks, Dave.
Now, see, we didn't watch each other go.
No, we have no idea.
We have no idea. We did this separately, so this is all a surprise to us as well.
And on top of that, my short-term memory is so bad that I don't even know how well I did on So, here's my bowl.
JC hoping for a strike after yesterday's score of 9, and he throws the ball, and it heads right into the gutter. JC with a gutter ball. Score 0.
Linda!
Dave. Oh, my God!
Linda! You have made the finals, baby. Yeah.
Oh, no.
I love you, Al.
I love you. Always bet on black, y'all. Always
JC, you've got to apologize to a man.
Yep.
Dave, what happened, bro, was... My swing foot got caught on the floor, Dave.
Don't make excuses.
Wow.
Dave, you still get a $100 gift card to Party City for your big game party.
Oh.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, Dave.
At least makes it exciting.
Hold on, Al. I feel like talking noise right now.
Go ahead, Al.
I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get. Don't you ever talk about me. Take that, Dave. Woo!
You weren't even playing corner, Al.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means.
Linda, you're coming back for the finals, baby.
Yeah, Dave, I am deeply sorry for my gutter ball, man.
It's all right, JC. I'm
shocked because you warmed up like twice as much as the rest of us.
Yeah, he wouldn't stop.
You were doing strikes, at least getting the strikes and spares every time.
I started yelling at him, stop it. You're just showing off now.
I'm going to buy Dave a beer one day.
I bowled with a Bloody Mary in my left hand.
It's Kid Craddock in the morning.
Craddock in the morning.
I went on a trip over the weekend with my wife, Kinsey. We went out to California for a friend, for our old roommate's wedding.
Gotcha.
And something clicked. And it just finally boiled over yesterday.
Hmm.
And it's something that I saw was going to become the it thing in 2014. And I basically brushed it off because it's pretty dang obvious. But I didn't realize how many times Kinsey and I broke this cardinal rule of relationships. So I can honestly say that I'm on board with this. I am getting a divorce in 2014.
Okay.
You're getting a divorce in 2014.
Yeah, oh yeah.
From your wife.
No, Al, not that kind of divorce.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, join the club.
Come on. No.
Oh.
As of now, Kinsey and we're not allowed to have our phones out during quality time. It's
a huge problem.
It's a huge problem, Jenna. It was, I noticed it more now so that our kids weren't around. Because we're at dinner together, you know. She has her phone out. She's talking to her friend, texting friends. I'm on Twitter or on Facebook. We go to this rooftop bar in this hotel we're staying at. It's beautiful. Sun's out. We should be enjoying the time and talking. But what are we doing? We're on the phone. Both of us on the phone.
Equally.
Both equally. As well.
She's probably on there more than I am. She has more friends.
Yeah.
Well, she's probably checking on the kids, too, though, right?
And then we go to the hotel, and this is when I started noticing. I'm like, oh, my goodness, we are that couple that's always on the phone when we're around each other. We're not having conversations. She's in the hotel room laying on the bed on the phone, and I'm sitting on the chair by the desk on my phone.
I feel like when I go out to dinner with a girlfriend, we always kind of look at other couples and you people watch and try and determine like how long they've been together or if it's a first date. You know, we all do this. And usually you can tell the couple's been together for a while or they're unhappy, you say, because they're both sitting there on their cell phones.
Well, it's funny you say that because I judge those couples.
Yeah.
I'll be at dinner with Kenzie and the kids and I'll see them on their phones and I'll be like, oh, wow, they don't appreciate each other.
And you are those couples.
And I finally realized, crap, we are that couple. We are that dang couple that everybody's looking at that's on their freaking phones.
Dude, appreciate this. This is the thing. You're getting points on both sides here. You're getting to spend time with your wife so she can't argue that there's no one-on-one time.
And you're on the phone so you don't have to talk to her.
No. This is like a win-win.
No, because I would argue that's not one-on-one time.
Ow.
So dramatic with his hands. Because
you're not, when you're on your phone, you're not. And what this article said, it was called, I am getting divorced in 2014. And you know, you open it, you're like, oh, what's this guy doing wrong? And it's literally about just leaving your technology behind because you're not living in the moment.
So you and Kenzie have honestly had this discussion and come to this agreement.
We had it last night because we're trying to watch The Bachelor together and I'm all into it and she's on her phone.
Now,
how are you supposed to live tweet The Bachelor without your phone?
Exactly. So that's up to you. That's why you live.
Even if your wife not in a relationship.
Even if your wife is sitting right there, you could always text her if you want to talk to her.
Oh, Al.
Stop.
You can't do that.
Quit trying, trying to provide comedic relief.
So are you going to put some ground rules in place? I mean, because I get watching TV if you're watching something. If you're
watching
a football game and she's not interested, but you're still spending time together. But if you go out to dinner or you're on a trip, you're at a bar and you're out to eat, then yes, other than like answering a phone call if you had to, you shouldn't be pulling your phone out every 5 seconds.
I almost think if you go on a trip with your husband or your wife or your girlfriend or your boyfriend or even a friend, that you should just leave the phones behind. Mm-hmm. What do you really need them for?
Leave them home?
Who am I going to call?
Well, if there's an emergency.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you have kids, you might need it just in case the babysitter calls.
Well, why don't you have the discipline to bring it out and just not
look
at it every 5 minutes?
Because once I get into the Twitter world, I'm in there.
Just don't go there.
Yeah.
Divorce Twitter.
I can't divorce Twitter because I'm trying to get Eminem to tweet me back.
Oh. See, this job's been a good thing for me because I get super burned out on media stuff that on the weekend I tend to not look at my phone that much.
I think maybe you should divorce your childhood behaviors.
An expectation that Eminem is going to tweet you back.
He's not good. He is. He will tweet me back.
I mean, maybe just say.
How often does he tweet people back?
Never.
Okay.
I'm going to be the first.
Okay.
Why don't you just do this? Say, okay, give yourself a cell phone curfew. And then if you're with your wife, assuming you're with your wife, you say, okay, we're going to spend one-on-one time after 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock, whatever time it is. So that way you get a little bit of phone time in, and then you just give you, just like when you were growing up, you have a curfew, what time you come in, you have a curfew, what time to put the phone down.
Well, can't I be on the phone when I'm not around her? Like when I'm out at the store or when I'm at work?
No, talk to your friends. You don't need to be on your phone then. You need to be on your phone when your wife is there.
Again, that comedic timing.
Yep.
On point.
Man, I wonder how.
Long line of successful relationships. Dr. Girlfriend! For you, right? Yeah.
How's that going to work out there, Al?
That's going to be perfect, dude. I got you. You need some pointers on relationships.
Oh,
you come
man.
This guy,
yeah,
right?
You are the man.
You need come this guy, right? Here.
Sure. You're listening to Kid Craddock in the Morning.
All right, so yesterday I decided to be a good mom.
Mm-hmm.
Good
for you.
Finally, you
have to make the decision every day as a choice. And the day before I was really sick, and my daughter was nice to a point. She let me sleep from about 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. because I was sick with the stomach flu over the weekend. And she, I'm bored. I'm so bored. And she's laying on the floor next to me. I'm lying in bed and looking at her on the floor, and she's writhing. I'm so bored, I could pee the word bored. I'm like, you need to stop following Justin Bieber on Instagram. That's what I need to tell
my
daughter.
Did you remind her that was throwing up all over you 2 days before, and
That's in the past. No, I didn't want to hold that against her. I don't want to make her feel guilty. So anyway, I'm like, it made me laugh when she said that. I'm like, where did you hear that?
Yeah, right.
I don't know. Anyway, so I promised her. I said, look, it was such a beautiful day Sunday. It was like in the 70s almost. The sun was shining and I felt like crap. I said, look, you leave mommy alone. And I promise you, I was so sick. And I promise you I'll take you to the park tomorrow. You're going to be out of school for the holiday, Martin Luther King Jr. Day. I'll take you to the park. And she's still kind of whiny. And I said, and I'll let you have a picnic, which picnics are always, you know, better on paper.
Yeah,
let you have a picnic. She's like, suddenly, oh, I'm in. Can I bring a friend? Yes, you can bring a friend, because I don't want to be on the slides. You know, I'd rather sit there and be the good mom watching from afar. Mm-hmm. So anyway, she, you know, the school has rubbed off on her. She wants to pack healthy snacks. Like apples and raisins, right? Mommy's like, we're going to get some chicken fingers, too. So we stopped by there, and we got the blanket and everything, and we head to the Rich People Park. Because the Rich People Park, it's just a better park.
They have valet parking at the Rich People Park?
No, but they do have parking there, you know? Yeah. And so, yeah.
Marble
people
slice.
And, you know, all those little SUVs, mommies with SUVs and stuff, you're hanging out waiting.
Nice.
But I decided not to wait in the parking lot. I went into the neighborhood and parked on one of the side streets, you know, very close proximity next to the tennis courts and the statues.
Wow,
the
Rich People Park rocks.
Yeah, and they had, you know, these commissioned statues of children playing. Hey. Anyway, so we go to the playground, and they have, like, the spongy playground where if your kid falls, they just bounce. It's so cool.
Dang.
Yeah, right? So while we're there and they eat their little health, because as soon as you get there, the picnic's all on their mind. They want to eat, you know, so I'm letting them eat, and then I'm going to throw everything in the trash can, and I put my picnic blanket bag and everything over my shoulder, and I'm going, and I turn and I knock this little 4-year-old kid off of his scooter, his little Razor scooter. He just goes pavement first. I mean, we're not on the spongy part of the playground. Ooh. We're on the real concrete.
Oh, no. Oh.
And all I'm thinking of, I bet he has his own lawyer. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah. So I reached out.
His dad's a lawyer.
Yeah, you knocked out a little rich
he's
kid.
He's this little frail thing. His little blonde hair, blue eye, and snot's already poured, and he's just screaming. And I'm thinking, well, any moment now, here comes the parent running up behind me. And I'm like, it's okay. It's okay. And I'm putting down my bags. And I'm like, let me see your elbow. And he pulls his sleeve down. He's crying. I'm looking around.
No problem.
And I'm like, and suddenly his other little friends are there. I fell off my scooter, too. And they're all talking to me. I'm, like, trying to comfort this kid crying. I'm like, where are your parents? And then suddenly I notice there's this group of nannies just kind of sitting over there, just kind of kicked back. Uh-huh. They don't care.
Yeah.
They're like, I got that. That chick over there's got it handled. So I'm sitting there. I'm digging snot rags out. I'm giving this kid a Kleenex.
You a nanny, too?
Here, wipe your nose. And you know, you want me to kiss your boo-boo? And I'm like, oh,
that's weird.
I'm not intimate enough, so I kiss my fingers and touched it. And it's like, okay, it's all better. And he gets on his little scooter, and right away, tragedy avoided, right? Lawsuit avoided.
Woo,
at least.
Boy.
The nannies are like, oh, that
you got
mom
nannies that
actually
don't care.
Brings her kid to the park.
And then after the, you know, this crisis that has, you know, distracted my attention from my own daughter and her safety, right? Here I am being judgmental. I turn and look as she's propped up on a wall with her leg crossed. And she's got her hands on the wall, so her shoulders are up framing her face, and she's got her head cocked to the side. I'm like, what are you doing? She's just staring, and she looks at me and kind of nudges her head and shows me she's staring at all these little boys fishing in the Rich People Pond. Okay?
The Rich People Pond is a pond!
My daughter has discovered boys.
And posing.
And she was posing. She was perched and posing.
Why didn't you just get her to the 4-year-old? You had just knocked out. Just taking him.
He's
right
too
down
young
of a silver
because she
platter
had already found her own. Mm. My daughter had found these older boys. I would guess they were probably third or fourth graders.
Oh, and she's
cute,
first grader,
right?
Yeah.
And they all had fishing poles, no bait, and they were trying to get these little. You know, it was a warm day. Let's go take our fishing poles down to the pond. And her little friends, they're like, let's go swing. And McKelly's like, I'm not leaving. Mm-hmm. And McKelly was perched up
bitch boy
and not moving.
She's fishing for gold.
Yeah. And so you're I'm right. like, I need to help break the ice here. And I asked the boys, I said, do y'all have any bait? And they said, no, ma'am. Because they're rich kids. They got manners.
The fish just jump on the hooks and people part.
I said, well, I've got some of these, you know, healthy cheese crackers that I would, and you could maybe crumble up and you throw in there and it'd get the fish to come up to the surface.
You pimping your
right?
daughter.
Your daughter. And so I was like, and then McKelly, I said, and McKelly, go take the kids the crackers. And she was like, oh, okay, okay. And she goes over and she gives them the crackers and she runs back to me and she's so proud. So proud that she approached the older boys. Mm-hmm. And her little girlfriend's like, I'm over this. And she went to the swing set and my daughter went over and climbed a tree and just watched the boys fish. Mm. I was
from
so
a
proud.
Tree?
That's kind of creepy.
It's fun. She was just like so mesmerized. And I'm like digging it so much that my daughter likes boys now. And her father's probably going to kill me. He's like, I'll give all those rich white boys a knuckle sandwich.
The rich white boys probably gave Emma Kelly a tip. Here you go.
Yeah, thank you, little
poor
girl.
Here's 20. Go back over there. Your clumsy mom.
And it was fun at the park.
Did she get a number?
No. That would be too forward.
And you tell her that now it's cheese crackers, but in a few years she's going to be buying Jaeger bombs at the bar?
No.
Is that right?
The tables will turn. I was just kind of like giving her an in.
Did you tell him you have a hookup at that bait and tackle shop in Florida? At Naples, Florida?
No.
What was that place called?
I don't know, and I'm not saying it.
Because
we're talking about child now in this conversation.
You bought t-shirts.
We're talking about other children, no?
Yeah. Master.
It was a master
shop. Yeah, it was a bait and tackle
shop. Yeah, but bait and tackle.
That was my fun day playing matchmaker for my kid at the park.
You're listening to the Kid Craddock in the Morning podcast. A condensed version of the show. Kid Craddock in the Morning.